Hello, my name is David Raichel. I'm the director of the University of Wisconsin Integrative Medicine Program in the Department of Family Medicine. And this podcast is about an integrative approach to chronic recurring headaches. We're going to focus on three main areas rather quickly. The first is to ask if these headaches are the result of medication withdrawal. The second is how can we remove triggers that may be stimulating the headaches? And the third is how can we increase the headache threshold? So if someone is sensitive to getting headaches, how can we reduce their sensitivity or increase their resiliency? So first of all, medication withdrawal headaches. If someone comes in and they're using anything, now this can be Tylenol, ibuprofen, Fiorasate, any abortive therapy, the triptans included, more than three times a week, and they get into a cycle of headache, medication to resolve headache, and rebound. That's something that needs to be addressed because it's very difficult to get at the root of the headaches if they're in this medication withdrawal rebound cycle. So one of the challenges is how to get them off of these headaches. To be frank, they're going to go through a little period of discomfort. So we can help that discomfort by giving them bridge therapy. And bridge therapy needs to be careful because if we just give them other medications that can enhance this withdrawal process, we may not be allowing the patient to overcome the headaches. So the things that I've found beneficial in bridging people off of their abortive treatments for headaches if they're using them too much. One is nonsteroidals. Nonsteroidals and prednisone both seem to have less of a rebound phenomenon. So as they gradually titrate off their abortive therapy, those two classes of medications can be helpful. But the area I found most beneficial probably is acupuncture. And if they can go in every 2 to 3 days for an acupuncture treatment as they're titrating off their abortive medication, that can be a great way to help reduce the severity of the rebound headaches as they go through this withdrawal and transition, hopefully, into preventative therapy that results in less frequency of headaches. So the second area of focus is to remove triggers. The two main areas of triggers that I've found to be most important to address are food as well as stress. Let's start with food. On our website, we have a handout on headache elimination diet, and this includes removing foods that are most commonly associated with headaches. Common ones are MSG, which is added to foods to give it a salty flavor. So any high salt food like croutons or soups or foods found in restaurants, there's a good chance that they have MSG added to them. Nitrites. Nitrites are added to processed meats to help maintain a rosy pink color of the salami or the bologna. If that nitrite was not added to the meat, it would have a grayish pale color, and that would reduce people's interest in eating them. But the nitrites dilate the blood vessels to enhance that rosy color of the meat. And when we eat those nitrite-rich processed meats, that causes vasodilation that can trigger headaches. Caffeine, probably the biggest one in our culture in this day and age, is caffeine. And the first question we should ask is, how much caffeine are you drinking? And that can be in the form of coffee, tea, chocolate, etc. Tyramine. Tyramine is found in old or aged foods, such as cheeses or wines. And this is a good rule of thumb. If we're going to do anything in regards to nutrition and recurring headaches, is try and eat fresh whole foods. Any old aged food is probably going to be somewhat rich in tyramine, which is a known trigger of headaches. And lastly, NutraSweet or aspartame. This has been found in numerous studies to be a common trigger of headaches. And if someone is eating a lot of foods or drinking a lot of diet sodas that are rich in aspartame, that's a good place to start. Okay, stress. Stress is a big one because if you think about what triggers the trigeminal nerve, which can cause vasodilation of the blood vessels in the dura and trigger headaches, stress, a perception of something in our environment, can trigger an emotion that triggers the limbic system that then goes to the trigeminal nerve that can then cause vasodilation and a headache. We often just try and block the output from that trigeminal nerve and try and prevent the headache. But what if we went a little bit deeper and actually went to the root of the headache, which is often an emotion, and how we perceive something in our life as stressful or peaceful can actually influence that limbic stimulation. So one of my favorite questions is to ask the patient, where in your body do you carry stress? And often patients who have headaches, they'll point to their head. And we try and create insight into how that headache can be a gift or a way to learn of their symptoms. So what may be going on in their life now that is resulting in more stimulation of that limbic system that can be triggering more headaches? So one of the most important things is to encourage the patient to develop insight and understanding of how their lives might be influencing the sensitivity to their headaches and learn from that. If we don't learn from that, the headache or the symptom perpetuates and we never really get at the root of the process. So stress and exploring what may be triggering these headaches in someone's life is probably the most important thing that we can do in primary care. Okay, number three is how can we increase the headache threshold or enhance the resiliency of the host? First thing I'll do is actually do a physical exam and feel for trigger points in the myofascia up in the neck and the shoulders and levator scap, which is a common one. And if people are holding a lot of sympathetic tone and stress in those muscles, it's nice to try and get that to relax. So, you know, even sending someone to a body work or a massage to really get those muscles to relax while also addressing the stress in their lives can be a key way to really help reduce some of that sympathetic stimuli in those muscles that can then go and trigger mixed type headaches or even a migraine. But if you just do the body work without exploring that mind-body influence as to what may be causing those muscles to maintain tension, that's an important step because one without the other often results in symptom recurrence. So one way to get the symptoms to go away for a long time is to do the body work to help reduce some of that tension, but also develop insight into what may be causing that tension. And then we're more likely to find long-term symptom relief. The other thing that we can do to raise the headache threshold is to do an elimination diet. And we often recommend people stay off these foods for 3 months, and this is reviewed in the handout, and then slowly reintroduce them and see if they're able. Supplements that can be helpful, vitamin B2 or riboflavin. There's been some interesting preliminary studies showing that 400 milligrams of vitamin B2 or riboflavin can help reduce the frequency by about 50% versus about 16% in placebo. Now, riboflavin or vitamin B2 comes in about 50 or 100 milligram doses over the counter, and the therapeutic dose appears to be 400 milligrams. This is a very safe supplement. Remember, most of the B vitamins are very safe, except for vitamin B6 at doses greater than 200 milligrams a day can cause neuropathy. So vitamin B2 is very safe, and it's worth a trial in people with recurring headaches, as is magnesium. So vitamin B2 and coenzyme Q10 work mainly through the mitochondria in helping reduce the excitability of the neurons in the brain. Magnesium works more by stabilizing the endothelium or the muscles of the endothelium to create more stability of the blood vessels in the brain that can create headaches by becoming more excitable. So magnesium, I recommend chelated magnesium or magnesium glycinate because it causes less diarrhea. And the studies have shown that approximately 600 milligrams a day can also be beneficial in preventing headache reoccurrence. So I often will start with vitamin B2 and magnesium. Another herb or botanical that's been found to be beneficial in preventing headaches is pedicytes or butterbur. This was a broadleaf plant that people used to wrap their butter in before refrigeration. And this leaf is very rich in chemicals that prevent an inflammatory response and helps inhibit leukotriene production. And leukotriene and prostaglandins are common inflammatory triggers to headaches. And pedicytes at a dose of 75 milligrams twice a day has been found to be beneficial in preventing migraines. So pedicytes and feverfew, which is another one that has been found to be potentially beneficial in preventing headaches, work on inflammation in reducing headaches. Vitamin B2 and coenzyme Q10 help mainly through mitochondrial energy production and reducing excitability in regards to headaches. And magnesium works more at stabilizing vasodilation and creating more stability of the blood vessel in helping prevent headaches. And lastly, those mind-body tools that we can use to help increase the headache threshold. And these are key. Number one is biofeedback. I like to call biofeedback the mind-body therapy for the non-believer, because we use a machine to help prove to ourselves that our thoughts can influence our physical body. And this can be very helpful in studies done with biofeedback to help reduce, again, that hyperarousal state of our sympathetic nervous system. Has been found to work better than beta blockers for recurring headaches. There's a lot of different biofeedback devices that can be bought over the counter, such as Respirate, HeartMath, the Stress Eraser. There's a video game called Journey to the Wild Divine. These are all products that can be bought over the counter that can all help teach someone how to reverse that arousal that can stimulate headaches. But ideally, it'd be a referral to a health psychologist who does biofeedback to help get them started in this process. Mindfulness meditation has also been found to be very beneficial in helping prevent recurring headaches. And this is mainly the process of living in the moment, coming into the present moment, getting our mind out of thoughts or memories of the past or thoughts or desires of the future. And when we do that, we get the mind out of the chaos and more into the present moment. And it brings that mind-body together, so we're more aware of our symptoms to help prevent or break that cycle of recurrence. Guided imagery can also be a valuable tool. I like the process of interactive guided imagery because it allows us to sit with the patient and use images to create a bridge between their subconscious and their conscious. And in this process, we allow an image to form that represents their headaches. And this could be anything from a knife in the base of their skull to a red fiery ball or a charging, screaming freight train. And when this image arises, we have them open up dialogue with this image and say that if this image could communicate with you, what would it be trying to tell you? Or what may it need to go away? And in imagery, anything is possible, and it's a great way to explore subconscious triggers that may be available to give the patient insight as to what may be going on in their lives that might be influencing the frequency of their headaches. And this is a process where we don't tell them what the answer is, they tell it to themselves. And through this guided imagery process, they create insight as to what may be going on that may be best or most appropriately addressed to reduce the frequency of the headaches. And lastly, breath work. You know, breath work or breathing exercises is a great way to help bring balance to that sympathetic hyperarousal state to the parasympathetic or more relaxed state. And deep abdominal breathing stimulates the vagus nerve that stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system and can be a great thing for patients to use for abortive therapy, as well as regular practice can help stimulate more of a parasympathetic response that helps reduce the hyperstimulatory effect that can lead to recurring headaches. So, in summary, if I have a patient who comes in with chronic recurring headaches, I usually start with the following. I'll first ask if they are using any type of abortive therapy more than 3 times a week, and if they are, we'll go through a process to help get them off of that. That process involves reducing triggers to their headaches, and we'll give them the handout on the headache elimination diet and have them avoid those most common foods that can trigger headaches. And then I'll also address the stress or those lifestyle factors that may be going on that may be influencing their headache threshold, and ask them to take a step back and say, okay, why at this time in their life are their headaches becoming more frequent? And have them learn from their symptom so they can overcome these headaches instead of just suppressing the symptom and never learning from the process. I then will often put them first on vitamin B2, 400 milligrams a day, as well as 600 milligrams of chelated magnesium at bedtime. And often I'll add a tricyclic antidepressant for just 1 month, like 10 or 25 milligrams of amitriptyline at bedtime, just for a month to further help reduce some of that sympathetic tone, which can help give them some relief. And lastly, I'll teach them how to breathe. You know, so often we breathe up shallowly up in our chest, and that gives us energy to survive the day, but it can also increase sympathetic tone and increase the recurrence of headaches. So doing the deep abdominal breathing exercises, slowing the breath down to one breath every 10 seconds, with exhalation being twice as long as inhalation, and having them actually do this for 30 breaths twice a day, is a very inexpensive way to really help them learn how to help themselves and reduce the frequency of their headaches. All right, there's a lot more good stuff on the Department of Family Medicine website. Go to www.fammed.wisc.edu/integrative and click on teaching modules and patient handouts, and there's a lot of good information there that backs up what we talked about today. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye.